reading we're going to have today is about a redeemer, and it's from Job, chapter 19, and these are the words that I've put on the screen. I know Len is going to speak from a number of different verses, but he's suggested we have these. And this is what Job writes. Oh, that my words were recorded, that they were written on a scroll, that they were inscribed with an iron tool on lead or engraved in rock forever. I know that my Redeemer lives, and in the end, he will stand upon the earth. And after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I will see him with my own eyes, I and not another. How my heart yearns within me.
We just pray. Shall we pray together? Father, you're in heaven. We're here on earth. And there's a big difference between heaven and earth. You're in a wonderful place. Now, Lord Jesus is with you. That's glory. But Lord, you've left us here for the moment, and we struggle with all sorts of things in our lives, but you've given us your word, and you've given us so many wonderful promises. You've given us faith, trust, and you've given us a glorious hope for the future. And we just pray, dear Lord, that you will feed our faith and our hope and our trust this morning through these moments we have together. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, this morning I want to base our thoughts around these verses in Job. Now, what do we know about Job? Job is a very interesting character in the Old Testament. And the book about him, there's quite a lot in it that is not so, perhaps so easy, often read, but there's some wonderful things there. And we learn that he was a character, a man who really knew God, walked with God and loved God. So much so that the devil looked and God said, hey, look at my servant Job. He's mine. And he just loves to live as I want him to live. And the devil said, ha ha, he's only doing that because you're blessing him. You've given him so many things, that's why he loves you. And God gave Satan permission to test him. And Job suffered a lot. But we can really believe that he had, before that suffering came, and it was pretty terrible, a real close relationship with God. Because as he began to suffer, as things, he lost his family, he lost everything that belonged to him, he lost his health, he was suffering in pain, and in the midst of it he said, though God kills me, I must still trust him. Now we have to know God to be able to say that, don't we? And to really have a faith in him. Whatever he brings in my life, I still trust him because he's good. He's good. We've sung that. God is good. Job could say that. And one day, he said these words. He says, I know that I have a Redeemer. And my Redeemer lives. Now, it's interesting. In the Hebrew, not that I'm a great Hebrew scholar, but we got this in the Hebrew, it's a word gal or something. I wouldn't like to pronounce it rightly, but it means our next of kin, a kinsman or a redeemer. He says, I know that I've got a redeemer, I've got a kinsman, I've got someone who's going to look after me, and he's alive. And he will stand at last on the earth. And as Job looked at his body, and he was suffering. Probably he was covered in blisters, and it was probably all shriveling up, and he could see himself dying, literally. His body was dying before his eyes through his sufferings. And he said, although after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. In other words, I've got a new body coming. I shall see him for myself. My eyes shall behold him and not another. Now that's faith. And Job had that faith. We believe it was God's gift to him, but I'm sure it developed through a close contact with God during those years when God was blessing him and he was walking with God. He could say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Now I want now just to think about what he would have meant by that, because well, one point of interest is it's debated when actually Job lived, but there's various evidences in the book that he was a very early character in Old Testament times, that he was thought he was somewhere in the contemporary with Abraham. Now scholars can see these sort of things from the language in which it was written. But there's one thing I can understand that they put as a reason. Somewhere, I can tell you the place, it's actually in Job 42:11, there's an indication of the currency that was used. Now you can base things a bit, date-wise, currency. If someone talks about pounds, shillings and pence, you know that it happened prior to 1970 or 71 or 72? 71. Now, in Job we have this word for currency, which is only used in the Bible, again, for the price that Abraham paid for the bit of land and the cave that he bought to bury his wife. And that's an indication that Job lived right there back, round about the time of Abraham or there around. But he, even way back there was this tradition, this custom, if you like, of someone in the family helping you with your problems. And in the Old Testament, we see that this kinsman redeemer has at least three roles to play. It comes out in different ways in the Old Testament. One is to bring justice if a relative is murdered. If something happens to you that you're murdered, you're killed, then someone in the family, your kinsman, your next of kin, has the right and the responsibility to bring justice. Now, things have changed these days, obviously, but in a day without police forces and all sorts of things, it was the responsibility of the next person in the family to ensure, as best he could, that justice was done. And he had the right to bring that murderer to justice in the sense of killing him too. And God provided all for that. We haven't got time to go into today, but he provided cities of refuge where these people could run to escape from the next of kin who was after them for murder. And there they could have their case could be heard and assess whether it was intentional or not, etc., etc. But that was one of the responsibilities of the Redeemer, the next of kin, was to bring justice in a situation where there had been murder. There you have the reference in Numbers 35. He's called the Avenger of Blood, shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. And the Avenger is the same word as Redeemer and Kinsman, Gael. This Avenger of Blood, to bring justice in a situation. So that's one of the roles of a kinsman. The other one, which we've already thought about this morning, is to buy back a relative from slavery. And this is a verse from Leviticus. After he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brothers may redeem him, or his uncle's son may redeem him, or anyone who is near of kin to him and his family may redeem him. Pay the price to bring him back from slavery. That's another responsibility of the kinsman, the redeemer, that a relative in the family gets into hard times and he sells himself perhaps, or for some reason becomes a slave. The kinsman has the responsibility, as best he can, to rescue him. Third role. kinsman, redeemer, has the right, responsibility to buy back property that's lost. Now this comes out in the story of Esther, doesn't it? Ruth, very well. Boaz was the redeemer, the kinsman redeemer, that bought back the property that her family gave up when they went to Moab, to bring it back into the family. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his redeeming relative, his kinsman, comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother sold. So those are three roles that a kinsman redeemer would have. Now we think about Job, as he used that term. Job had seen murder. It was all in a spiritual realm. But his whole family, his sons and daughters, had been murdered. He's like, mate, it was a wind that blew the house down. But behind it, Job sensed there was evil power. And we know there was. Satan was behind it. Job had virtually lost everything he had. He could see his body dying. But in all, he says, I've got a kinsman. I've got a redeemer. And his eyes were up to his God, because he knew his God. I've got a redeemer. I've got a kinsman. He's going to put it all right. He's going to bring justice. He's going to give me a new body. He's going to buy back my possessions. But he looked beyond this life. He didn't know whether he would ever survive from the illness. He was dying literally before his own eyes. But he said, and some versions say this, after the worms have destroyed my body, I know that in my body I will see God. And I will see him for myself. I have a redeemer. I have a kinsman who's going to sort it all out for me. Now, three reasons why we need a kinsman redeemer. Because really, in a spiritual way, we're all in the same position as Job. We have been spiritually murdered. As we look back to the story in Genesis, we know that the responsibility for Adam's and Eve's sin was themselves. But who brought them into that position? There was Satan there on that tree, if that's where he was hanging, and as the picture sometimes says, and he tempted them and brought them to disobey God. And in that sense, he murdered them. And the Bible talks about us being dead. Spiritually, we're dead. We're out of touch with God. We were created and made to know God, to live with God, to walk with God, to commune with God. But the barrier has come down, and spiritually, we're dead. Naturally, we don't know God. We don't want God. We live for ourselves. And the Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sins until Jesus saved us. He has made us alive as Christians. And Jesus himself said about Satan the devil in John 8, he was a murderer from the beginning. Our kinsman redeemer has come to deal with that for us. We've been murdered. We've been cut off from God through the subtlety and power of Satan. We can't do anything about it of ourselves, but we have a kinsman. We need that kinsman. We need that redeemer. The second role of the kinsman was to buy back slaves from slavery. And we need him too, don't we? Jesus said in John 8, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin. Have you felt the power of sin in your life? You find yourself doing things that you know are wrong, yet you can't help yourself. You're a slave, and by nature we're slaves to sin. Sin is there in our heart, and it enslaves us. We can't escape. And Peter, in his epistle, says, by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage, into slavery. We need a kinsman redeemer to buy us back from this slavery to sin and wrong and evil that clings to us and brings us into bondage. The third way we need a redeemer. The most precious possession of our souls is being snatched from us. Now what do I mean? God made us with wonderful bodies. Wonderful. Those who know more about our bodies tell us just how wonderful our bodies are. There was a time when somehow the body was thought, well, that's nothing. We don't want to think about the body. We need to think about our souls and spirits. There's something wrong with the body. But, you know, let's not despise our bodies. God has given us wonderful bodies. They're dying, aren't they? Just look at us. Our grandchildren gave us a little album for Christmas of some pictures. It was rather interesting. They were the pictures that had been taken when they were little, and then they'd taken another picture in a similar sort of position and pose today. It was very interesting to see how they had grown and developed. Now, if we began to do that at our age, it would be a vast difference, wouldn't it? Because our bodies are getting old, and they're really being snatched from us. We're dying. That's the result of sin, result of Satan's temptation and man's fall. In Genesis 3, in the sweat of your face, this was God's curse on mankind, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. We work hard to earn our living. We work hard, we get tired, we come home and rest. What's it for? To go out the next day. To earn money, to earn, to live. And this was God's judgment. In the sweat of your face you will eat bread till you return to the ground. Where's it leading? Down. Out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. That's the curse of God upon sin. Our most precious possession, the precious possession of our spirit, our soul, which is within us, is these bodies God has given us. And they're being snatched from us. David could say, my flesh and my heart fail. He went on to say, but God is the strength of my heart, my portion forever. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, our outward man is perishing, but our inward man is being renewed. There's the outward man and the inward man. Now, when God saves us, we have a new heart, a new nature. The inward man grows, but the outward man is still perishing. In a few more years, we won't be here. We need a kinsman redeemer to do something about it. And Jesus, as we thought already in our service, Jesus is our perfect kinsman redeemer. He came to fulfill the role, the purpose of that redeemer, as he described to us in the Old Testament. First of all, to be our kinsman, our next of kin, if you like, he had to become like us. We read in Hebrews, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, that means because we've got bodies, he also likewise took the same. He was born as a human being with a body, flesh and blood, so he could be like us. And verse 11 says, he's not ashamed to call us his brothers. That's wonderful, isn't it? Jesus came to be our kinsman redeemer. He came from glory. He came as the Son of God, as the Word of God had brought into being the whole universe. And he took on human frame, human body, to be like us, to identify himself with us, so that legally, if you like, legally, in the eyes of God, who's a just God, he could be our kinsman redeemer. this prophecy in Isaiah. You shall know that I, the Lord, am your Saviour and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Job could look to God and he'd say, I know that I have a Redeemer. And I know that when this body is been eaten by worms in the ground, then God's going to raise me up again. He's going to bring justice on that person who murdered my children. He's going to sort everything out right because he's my Redeemer, my kinsman. And Job didn't have the same authority of textual biblical text that we have, but he knew God. And in great faith he could say that. And God is our Redeemer, but he came to be like us. He came in the person of Jesus. Jesus is our perfect kinsman redeemer. He's the avenger of blood, to use that phrase from the Old Testament, on our behalf, bringing justice on our murderer, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. That's what he came to do, to bring justice on mankind. Man was responsible. We don't get away from that. Adam and Eve were responsible for their fall. But behind it was the one of whom Jesus said he is a murderer from the beginning. We come to the last book in the Bible where everything comes to a close, where we see the end of God's purpose. We read, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Our Jesus has come to put right our problem, our great problem. Firstly, as the avenger of blood, the one to bring justice on our murderer. Secondly, we thought about this somewhat already in the service. He came to pay the price to free us from slavery. Colossians 1, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. The cost of buying us back from slavery was his own death. As the Son of God, the perfect Son of God, without sin, becoming a man for us, dying for us. Not corruptible things, as Peter said, as silver and gold, but redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. I think I'm right in saying that when I used to visit my girlfriend, here she is sitting here 50 years later, I think you had that hanging in your kitchen, that text. Redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. It's a wonderful text to hang in your kitchen, isn't it? But not just hang it on the wall, to have it in your heart. I'm redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. He's my kinsman, my redeemer. He came to be my brother. He came to act that role for me that no human being could ever do. And he's paid the price to set me free. He's our redeemer. Buying back for us, for our souls, a perfect heavenly body. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, if our earthly house, this tent, he's talking about his body, isn't he? This tent is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan. Get aches and pains, sometimes severe pains, and we groan, we sigh, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. Having been clothed, we should not be found naked. It's not God's purpose that we should for all eternity just be spirits. Our Lord Jesus rose from the dead with a new body, and we don't understand that body. It's described as a spiritual body, but it's a body. In 1 1 Corinthians 15, Paul writes, as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. Our Redeemer, our kinsman, has come not only to buy us back from Satan's power, to do justice on our murderer, but he's come to give us back what God intended for us, a perfect, complete body. They tell us that these days we only use a very fraction of our brain's capacity. One day we'll be able to use it all. We don't understand what these bodies are going to be like, but we have this glorious hope. We have a Redeemer who has bought back this possession that we've lost. God's perfect body for our souls to live in. And let's not overlook that. As we see ourselves getting old now, and some more than others, when you're young, you don't think about it. As you get older, you realize that every tick of the clock somehow is bringing you closer to the end. You get aches and pains, but our Redeemer has purchased back a perfect new body for us, and one day we shall enjoy it forever. Coming back to our text, I know that my Redeemer lives, said Job. Faith, we read in Hebrews, is the substance of those things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. All that I've been talking about this morning are things unseen, aren't they? But faith, faith in God's word, faith in what he's revealed to us in the scriptures, and faith in him as our Saviour, is his gift to us. It's of grace. But if he said, his word says, we seek, we shall find. Over the years, I've met several people and they say, oh, I wish I had your faith. But the answer is, if you want faith, if you see your need of it and you can't get it, then pray for it. Seek it. Because it comes from God. Read the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Immerse yourself in the scripture. See what he says. And you begin to believe it. Because it's his spirit. Teaches it to you. Reveals it to you. Job had that faith because he knew God. It was said of Enoch that he walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. And I would suggest that Job must have known God in a similar way. To such an extent that as he was suffering and dying, he could say, I've got a Redeemer. And I know I've got a Redeemer. And I know that although this body is going to decay and go into the grave, I shall with a new body look on my Saviour. And in the New Testament we read in 1 John 3, we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We have a kinsman redeemer in Jesus, a perfect redeemer. And he calls us to him. Come, he says. Come to me. Come to me. We can rejoice together that he's done all that's necessary to give us glory, joy, peace, happiness throughout all eternity in a new world, and to know the help we need as we struggle along here below, looking to him day by day. I think we've got another hymn to sing now. Perhaps I'll just pray first and then we'll sing this. Lord, we just thank you that understanding and seeing our spiritual needs, and you know so well, Lord, the great gulf between man as you intended him to be and as you created him to be and what we are today. And oh Lord, it was the enemy who did it. He was a murderer from the beginning. And Lord, we're all suffering the result of it. But oh, we praise you that you came to be our Saviour, our Redeemer, the brother who would stand with us and put everything right. Oh, we thank and praise you. We ask that each one of us might know that in our heart and live in the joy of it. In the name of Jesus.